Oh my god, can you believe it? We're back again. Well, I'm back again. I'm back to this state again. I'm out of my mind again. This is Kung Fu Theater, which if you've been keeping up with recent news, Kung Fu Theater is now Asian cult cinema. Yeah. You can only talk so much about Kung Fu movies before your eyes glaze over. Then you have to talk about other stuff. That's why we renamed it Asian cult cinema. That encompasses everything. You'll notice my name's Mao. Not with me tonight is Dr. Morbius. I was out of the state and out of my mind, and then I came back, and then schedules did not align. So sadly, you're just going to be listening to me prattling on by myself tonight, and possibly my cat Destructo here will chime in. Although now he's clawing at the door, so you probably won't be hearing him much. So I thought I would change it up a little bit since it's just yours truly tonight. And I thought I would talk a little bit about one of Asian's most cultiest of cinemas. No, I'm not talking about Pinky Violence, although that is... I have a few of those, and if you don't know what that is, don't Google it at work, or you'll get fired. Basically, Pinky Violence is the term coined for ultra-violent, ultra-exploitive sex, borderline porno, Japanese movies from the 70s, 80s, probably still making them today, I don't know. The most famous ones are, you know, the older ones, and wow, they are something. I've seen a few of them. I own a collection of them. I don't watch Pinky Violence much. I do enjoy it. It is usually a very, almost Kill Bill-ish, simple plot, and the plot always involves some horrific thing that happens in the beginning, either to parents or to the daughters or something. Daughter grows up, daughter becomes a merciless killer to get revenge and kills everyone using any means possible, usually sex. So that's a fun little genre of Asian cult cinema that, of course, you know, has a lot of followers. It's a very popular, it's a good genre. If you like kind of revenge tales, which at the heart, most kung fu movies are either revenge or some simplistic thing like that, you know. But when you're talking about, there's of course, Asian cinema to me, it encompasses so much. It's such a broad, huge category. What I thought I would talk about today with the absence of Dr. Morbius is anime. Now, Dr. Morbius, if you don't know, we do other podcasts. We are all over the podcast world, like white on rice. And one of the podcasts that Dr. Morbius does is called Two Dimension Podcast, and it's all about comic books. And we frequently get into a really conversation when he talks that he doesn't like animation, he doesn't like animated movies, he hates Walt Disney. And I look at him like a dog when I hear a weird noise. I turn my head sideways and go, but thing is with that paper and comic books, and I drool a little bit, and I just stopped talking about it. So I thought I would use this half hour to talk a little bit about the world of anime. I'm not going to do a deep dive into one movie. I'm probably going to just kind of talk around the subject a little bit, talk a little bit about the various... Some of my favorites, of course, from the genre. Some that I didn't quite get, which that seems to be what happens a lot with me with anime. It's one of those things where I like it, and sometimes it's visually exciting, and then sometimes it's really annoying, and then sometimes it's really confusing. All those... It's almost like I used to always try to rent or find somebody to let me borrow a certain anime. This is in the days before YouTube, where you could just kind of look at anything at any time, no matter what. You know, it was so hit and miss, and it was such a, like, imported, cost-prohibitive thing. You know, Blockbuster would have like 10 titles. Fist of the North Star, Akira, Spirited Away, a couple confusing titles that you're like, I don't even know what this says, you know. So you couldn't really like rent movies back like in the beginning, you know, the video anime didn't like hit big. So you kind of had to be in the know, or you had to know that one weird shop down that one weird street in Tampa or whatever. And and you'd walk in and there'd be, it was a strange guy and had strange stuff, and they knew way too much about it because they were either in Japan or they had friends in Japan. Like, they had to be in the know, and then you had to be in the know, and you had to, like, you know a secret password. It was like getting bootleg hooch, you know. That was a long time ago, though. I mean, that was kind of the beginning when it was always popular. You know, there was always Speed Racer was over here. Of course, you know, when Godzilla invaded America as it did Japan, you know, you had a lot of people loving that, you know, that genre, the kaiju genre of the, you know, the big monster movie stuff. And Japan also had a lot of really great horror movies. And my favorite, actually, of the Japan cult cinema is just the same as it is in America, like the 50s and 60s kind of sci-fi, where they didn't even know what the heck was going on, and it was just it was craziness, you know. And Japan did it really well, their sci-fi. I always thought it was a very kind of realistic, but also kind of fanciful viewpoint. Now, American sci-fi movies were always like, oh, it's us versus them, and they're coming to get us, and we're going to win because we America and pie, and here's an eagle. But with Japanese stuff, it was a little bit nuttier, you know? And the lines blurred tremendously. That's one of the things I've always kind of admired about the Japanese culture, the Japanese, cinema. I like how my Asian cult cinema has become Japanese cult cinema. That's just what I'm talking about tonight. Asian cult cinema, this show in a whole, it encompasses everything, you know, Korean, Japanese, Vietnamese, Philippines, of course, has tons of crazy B movie stuff. No, I'm just talking mostly about Japanese tonight. So, hopefully you'll stick with me. I promise. I'll try to be entertaining and informative. Whoa, that's a deadly combination. Informative, that's the bad part. No one wants to be informed of anything. The Japanese sci-fi, of course, was just so interesting and engaging, you know. And there was a lot of the animation of that time that mirrored that, you know. The Battleship one, where there was a gigantic battleship out in space that had this huge cannon in the front of it, and I can't remember the name of it, and for shame on me, because I watched it all the time as a kid. Speed Racer was one of my favorites. Although people poo-poo the live action, that's the first movie I got when I got a Blu-ray player and a TV that was like the high-def new style TV. First movie I bought was Speed Racer, because that just takes color and punches you in the face with it for about an hour and a half. It's insanity. The frame rate is insane. The colors are like so vibrant. You just watch and you're like, ah. And they didn't get that from the Speed Racer animation, because that was very rudimentary. It was almost like Hanna-Barbera-ish, where they just wouldn't move and they would just make the background kind of blur. So it was like, oh, look at the speed, you know. But that was my first taste of animation, was when I was a kid. Every now and then, Speed Racer would come on, and I'd be like, yeah, and I was a kid, so I'd run around like an idiot. Just ask my grandmother. She had to put up with me. I live with my parents, but my grandmother was often watching me, and that's where I got my first taste of cartoons. So other than Tom and Jerry, which, you know, that was the flavor of the day. So, you know, so you start out with, like, the neat, like, Speed Racer style stuff, and then it progresses, and then once it hits, you know, animation really took off and really sometimes becomes these elaborate stories. You know, my favorite is, which I'll talk about more on the other side of the break, Ghost in the Shell. That was the first one that grabbed me from the very first scene. I couldn't look away. And that's a pretty cool thing. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back. And then it's going to be on to the show, as they say. The really big shoe.
They began in the water. Dark, gliding shapes that violate every law of nature. They're not human, but they hunt human women. Not for killing, for mating. Humanoids from the deep, starring Doug McClure, Anne Turkell, and Vic Morrow. Humanoids from the deep. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Then we should run like it is Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
Space Battleship Yamato. Ugh, I was driving me crazy while I was on the break. I'm like, what's the name of that? Oh, God. And I watched it all the time. And it would power up that gigantic, like... And it was a rifled laser cannon on the whole front of the thing in the space. It was crazy. Very wacky. But, yes, that the one I was talking about where I was like, oh, the spaceship in space. Yes, Spaceship Yamato. Space Battleship Yamato. Now everyone can stop screaming at their... At the computer and in their cubicles. Because, oh my God, I do that all the time. Like, I'll be listening to a podcast or a movie podcast, and somebody's like, oh, that thing with that guy. And I'm like, Death Race 2000. Oh my God, it's Death Race 2000. How can you not remember that? And that's what people might have been doing when I was like, oh, that thing with those people in space and that big spaceship, and people want to scream and hit me. Please don't hit me with a shoe or anything like that. I hate that. Anyway, on to the show. Yes, so now I start out... The first anime, you know, like, I didn't really pay much attention to it. When I got into other movies, B-movies, monster movies, you know, crazy, weird movies. And then, you know, then I moved down into Florida. And, like, things were kind of going in high speed. Jobs and houses and stuff. And, you know, and you just kind of I don't want to say lose your way, but you're just kind of... So much stuff is happening at once. I didn't really pay any attention to a lot of different kinds of movies. But then I started watching different stuff, growing different stuff. And then everyone was starting to catch on. Anime was starting to hit. You know, and it was anime fever running wild, brother. And this is in Florida here. I'm sure back home I wouldn't have had any exposure to that. It was a tiny little town and a tiny little place and a tiny little nowhere. So the chances of me finding some of that stuff was probably pretty thin there. I don't think it would have been accepted. So the first one I get a hold of is, like I said, it was is Ghost in the Shell. And the first Ghost in the Shell was, to me, when I first saw that, the very first scene when the Major just... takes off her clothes and just does this crazy swan dive through a glass plate window to come in and start shooting the place up. It grabs you, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And that's one, Ghost in the Shell, that's one where it's a deep plot, and it's a very high, kind of like high concept. You know, she might not be a woman. She might not be anything, you know. And as this story progresses and as you find out more and more about it, and this is a future world, and it's kind of like our world, but just kind of more overwrought and more crummy and a little like high tech, but high tech for some and not for others, you know. And it was just such an engrossing tale. And the story was great, and the animation was gorgeous and dirty, and you felt like you were there, you know. And that was one of the first ones where I just fell in love with it. I drove like down to Sarasota, past Sarasota to see the second one in a theater, you know, which wasn't as good, but I didn't care. I loved it. I have all the video games. I have the TV series, you know, and of course everything, like everything else, they don't let a good thing go. Like American studios wouldn't. So, you know, the newer stuff, I have the last one. It's called The New Movie, Ghost in the Shell, The New Movie. I bought it when the local Hollywood Video or whatever. I think it was called Hollywood Video. I don't know, some stupid video place. Just went out of business like a couple months ago. I bought it. I never even knew it was out yet. I bought it, blind bought it, and it's sitting there. I haven't even watched it yet, which I got to get to that. I should have watched it. I'll watch it this weekend maybe. And it's one of those things where, you know, as it goes along further and further, it gets a little bit further away from what it was, you know. But that, to me, represents the pinnacle of what anime is, you know. And if you don't like that one, I get it. You know, Akira is probably more of a complete movie, but Akira is a little bit more of a, I don't want to know, like an action, like an odd action movie, where Ghost in the Shell to me is a story that you're kind of following along this entire journey. You know, this is a lifetime worth of storytelling, where Akira was kind of like, very intense, really cool. I loved Akira too. I mean, I bought that one, of course, right away. I saw it once and I was like, well, I went out and bought it that same day. And I've watched it numerous times. It's a powerful tale. It's a crazy tale. You know, I loved the clowns were a biker gang that was after him for a while and stuff like that. And it was engrossing, you know, and it was about this kid who was kind of out on, like getting picked on by everyone and just, you know, kind of, got a hold of some power finally, you know. So those movies always are engrossing. They're always a lot of fun to watch. The next one I got was Fist of the North Star, and that one I actually rented. And I rented that one, and everyone was like, "Yeah, you got to check that out. Check that out." You know, everyone was talking about how great it was, and that one didn't hit for me. It was like very violent and gory, and that's okay. You know, or bloody, not gory. I mean, the blood. Sometimes the anime has like one thing that they really kind of key in on. They're like, "This is our shtick." So that one's shtick was like super blood, and it would fly everywhere. You're like, ah, and it was, I mean, it was all right, you know, and that's kind of one of the problems with anime. Why I can't say that I'm like a super fan of anime. I just like it a lot. Is I have to pick and choose. Some stuff just meh, I don't know. And it's always kind of the same stuff over and over again, you know. Some of them are very boring or very, they're too far out there where you're kind of not even, it's not, you know, you're like, kind of like, why am I even watching this? You know, there's not really stories to be told, or it's some weird thing, you know? I guess the same could be said for, like for B movies and movies in general. It's just one of those things where I've always felt you have to really pick and choose, but there's some people out there that love it so much. They can watch any anime and it's like, oh, it's so great. Oh, I love it. You know, they love everything. And I'm like, I don't fall into that category. I thought I might, but then I also worried that I might as well. You know, I used to get the, what was that one magazine I used to get? It's a really big New Age. Was it New? No, it wasn't New Age. Dang. I don't know. And it was this anime magazine. It was this big, big, really beautifully made anime magazine. And it gave you like a little disc, a little micro DVD, if you remember those things, those tiny little discs. So every month you get like a sampler, and I really enjoyed that. But then I found myself losing interest in it, even from the subscription. It wasn't expensive, a subscription. It was not cheap. And I would watch this. Some of the discs I watched, and I really thought they were funny. But most were just like, whatever, you know, a boy and his robot, blah, blah, blah. And it just kind of gets a little stale where you're not really seeing anything exciting or anything that, like, there's no stories being told that, like, kind of pique your interest, you know. But then once something comes along and grabs you. Cowboy Bebop, of course. I'd be remiss without talking about Cowboy Bebop a little bit. That was almost, the story from Cowboy Bebop was almost like classic Western space opera adventure kind of thing. And characters were likable, funny. There was some levity involved, which is always a good thing, because some of them, there's no levity and it just won't let up. And you're like, okay, can we skip this? That'd be just super. So Cowboy Bebop, and Cowboy Bebop has great, great soundtracks, which is another thing that it has going for them. Some of them have more quirky soundtracks where it's kind of like synth stuff and nothing really hits with you. But boy, the soundtracks from Cowboy Bebop, I have them all. Not all. I have three or four of them, and boy, they're really great. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to finish up the anime discussion.
ruthless invaders, a defenseless planet, and a daring band of space adventurers fighting to save it. Battle beyond the stars. A lone youth escapes on a last-ditch mission that begins at the edge of the universe. A battle beyond time, beyond space, a battle beyond the stars. Starring Richard Thomas, George Papard, Robert Vaughn, John Saxon. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me.
Yeah, I just ran out and got a few of those little mini DVs. Full Metal Panic was one that came in with the magazine, and then also Azu Manga Daio, and that one was one that I actually went out after I saw this one. I went out and got it. I got some of the episodes. They were very funny. They were like kind of a cutesy one, which is a lot different than what I usually watch. And then, of course, one of the anime that I didn't talk about much in this show, because I kind of lumped them into almost it's anime, but it's Miyazaki's like Spirited Away and some of the stuff. He is like kind of the Walt Disney of not the Walt Disney. He brought so much to anime and the stories and the movies. They were. I'm not even talking about him in this show. You know, I went and saw some of his stuff. When I went to Japan, I went into the Astro Boy Museum and you know, got to see some of that. And then I, you know, Spirited Away was like a national phenomenon when that came out. So those, I kind of view that as a little bit different. The last two that I really thought were, the last two that I kind of really invested in and thought were just awesome. One called Afro Samurai, which was voiced by Samuel Jackson. And that is another thing that I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, is just like Kung Fu movies, the voice work makes a huge, huge difference in these things. I like to watch these, most anime I try to watch with the original voice work and the original sound effects, and then actually, you know, just read the subtitles. Some that doesn't work out so well, or some are not even a lot. You know, they're not even over here like that, so you have to just watch the dubbed version. And also, sometimes my brain just wants to watch a movie, and then in which case, reading it is a little bit distracting. But I do try to, you know, watch the Japanese versions. But this one, Afro Samurai, was a really classic tale. The animation was like modern style, I'll say. You can often tell what era anime is from by how it's drawn. You know, the 70s, 60s, 70s stuff, boy, you can really see it. Same as American animation, you know. It's definitely always of its time. And the newer stuff has a lot more computer help, a lot more of the effects, and they're kind of storyboarded and drawn out. Much more complexities are included, you know, lighting effects and some of the shadowing and all that kind of stuff that's applied. It makes it almost hyper realistic, even though you can tell it's an animation, you know. But Afro Samurai was because I love the sword fighting. I did Yaido for a lot of years. I've always been a big fan of the samurai swords, and I have a few really nice ones. One that no one dare look at. You know, it's so special. It's not really that special. I should just use it for practice, not, you know. Anyway, and this was the tale of a fighter going out to be the number one, and each challenge was just trying to get through to get, you know, to kill number eight, to kill number seven, to kill number six, kill his way up the ladder to be number one. And then from there, of course, well, now you have the challenge of remaining number one. Classic tale. And then the second one I wanted to talk about a little bit. So of course, Afro Samurai is a huge recommend. If you like that, if you like anime and you haven't seen that yet, you should run out and grab it. It's really great. And then the second one, Samurai Champloo. This one, was a very fun, silly concoction, I guess I'll say. There was a very stoic samurai warrior, Jin, who was no nonsense, very honorable, very by the Bushido code. And then there was like kind of like a street rat who was anything but, and he was just a brash kind of like punk, you know, and he brought that punk rock sensibility to his fighting. So he would break dance kicks and stuff like that while he was fighting, and each of them in their own right were really high level samurai masters, just very different. And that's the path of life is like that too. So they, you know, the whole thing was they get into a kind of a fight, and one of the girl, this girl who's trying to find the woman who smells of sunflowers, kind of like cons them, not cons them, they each owe her, so she makes them be like, she makes them take her from village to village to find the woman who smells of sunflowers, like, and it's just a really touching tale because they go through a lot of stuff together. There's some bad times, there's some good times. There always is tension between the two, but they do, you know, like all these good stories, they do tend to lean on each other, tend to rely on each other, you know. And that's just one of those ones. I don't think that one is as popularized. I don't think many people know Samurai Champloo. It's not, definitely not a, when Afro Samurai hit, that was a huge deal. You know, and obviously, Ennio Miyazaki's is released with incredible fanfare. They're Japan's national treasures. So, you know, don't bother with that. I don't know. I guess that's about it for this week. Anime is definitely, I don't want to say it's an acquired taste. It is one of those things where either you really like it or you're kind of really don't. I don't want to say people hate anime. I mean, I'm sure some people do hate anime. I know Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown does not care for it, which, again, turns my head sideways like a German shepherd listening to a whistle. But he just doesn't. And, you know, that's cool. I mean, some things are just aren't for people. For the longest time, I didn't want to even dip my toe into the anime pool for fear of being a crazy man with walls and walls of anime statues that no one could touch. And I do have a few. I have to tell you, I have a bunch of Chun-Li. I have a couple of the Major from Ghost in the Shell, and I have some of the tanks from Ghost in the Shell. See, that's what happens. You start a little bit. Oh man, look out. But yeah, so I don't know what to tell you. I know we won't be reviewing any anime movies because Dr. Morbius is loathing for them. So that's kind of why I figured, I'll take this time to talk a little bit about it. I hope it hasn't been too droning and boring. I always kind of worry when I do the solo shows. I'm like, ugh, am I putting people to sleep? Probably. Especially if you don't like anime. Yikes, turn it off. Should have said that right in the beginning. I conned you. I didn't con you. If you do like the kung fu movies, anime, not anime, obviously, Asian cult cinema, please go to RadioSaintPete.com, and there's a tab that says, you know, audio archives, and you're going to find all of our shows in their half-hour format. They're a little bit longer than a half-hour usually. They're in there. Just look for the Kung Fu Theater, and those will be the full shows. And then there's also another show I do for Radio St. Pete, which is called The Indie Circuit. And that's me playing some really wild, crazy music that you've never heard of, I promise. Musing a little bit, but mostly playing music, which is probably easier on the brain than this show has been. And then if you dig those awesome things, well, then you should go out to bunchofdorks.com. Wow, Plug-a-rama. Yikes. That is where me, Dr. Morbius, and all our friends, we have a couple podcasts out there. And we could also redirect you to some of our other online concerns. We all have blogs and things and Facebooks and blah, 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 blah. I don't have a Facebook for this page. I do have a Facebook for The Indie Circuit. So if you're on Facebook, go to The Indie Circuit and like it. And then you can tell me to please never do another, a solo show for Kung Fu Theater. Don't be so mean. That's sad. Now I'm sad. I'm not really sad. But go to BunchDorks.com. There you're going to find 1.5 million hours worth of free entertainment. Of course, the top one is Slow Robot A Go-Go. That's the B-movie review show that me and Dr. Morbius do week in and week out. Middle one is the Two Dimension Podcast, which is the comic book podcast that I think if you like this show, you'd probably like that one. And then the bottom one is a defunct but very long-running show called The Bunch of Dorks. It ran for 10 years. It was insanity from the first moment all the way through to when I said I quit. And that was recently, actually. It was only a couple months ago. So that is it for this week. I do hope that you found this discussion of anime slightly entertaining, if not very entertaining. Hopefully you jotted down a couple of those names, and when you're going to run out and rent them, or at least watch them on YouTube and then say, this is Garbage Town, which is a lot easier now than it used to be back in the day. Oh, so hard. It was so hard to do anything back then before the internet took over and just stole everything. Now it's easy. So there you go. All right. Well, thanks for listening. My name's Mal. We will see you next week. I'm sure Dr. Morbius will be back. In fact, we already have our movie picked out. Ruh-roh. What could it be? Who knows? Tune in next week to find out.
There was a mushroom, sad little mushroom. There was a meadow, ready to cry. There was a sparrow, gray little sparrow. There was an eagle, silent and high. And the Lord said, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said laugh, children laugh, the Lord said laugh, children laugh, the Lord said laugh, laugh, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you a world of joy from out of the blue. And all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy. And then there was laughter, wonderful laughter, for he created a girl and a boy. And the Lord said, oh, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh.
Sure is. And you know, I never felt any more like laughing than I do right now.